Before we come to God's word, let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, O Lord, we are thankful that we can be found in thy house this morning, O Lord. The world is so full of temptation, people lost. But we are thankful that thou hast brought us here this morning to praise thy name, thy worthy and almighty name, O Lord, and glorify thee and hear of thy word. And we pray, O Lord, that that word will bless our hearts this morning. O Lord, show us more of who we are and who thou art to us. Oh Lord, bless each and every one here, every needy heart. Oh Lord, give us teachable hearts that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be in our midst, oh Lord, breathe life upon us, oh Lord, and lead us into everlasting life. For thy glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our text for this morning is in the book of Jonah. Book of Jonah, chapter 1. Book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 9. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 9. And the word of God says, "And he, Jonah, said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." May the Lord bless the reading of his own inspired and infallible word to our hearts this morning. So I'd like to focus this morning on the book of Jonah. So please keep your Bibles open on it, because we'll check several different passages from it. And the first thing that I would like to bring to your attention in this passage is the passage that we just read. There, the prophet Jonah was in the ship trying to disobey God's commandment of going to Nineveh to preach to the people. But then God sent a great storm to stop Jonah from going against his will. And the people from that ship asked him on verse 8 of chapter 1, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" And Jonah gave them his credentials, as we read in verse 9. "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Notice here that Jonah professes his faith. First, that he is a Hebrew, that he is part of God's chosen people. He also tells that he fears the Lord. That means that he had that reverence for God acknowledging God for who he is. He had a devotion that is due to the Lord alone. And he goes even further and says, the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. We have here a profession of faith. A good believer. And we can see that his theology was all good. In chapter 2, verse 9, we read in the last part, salvation is of the Lord. He realized that his salvation of man is a work of God alone and not based on our efforts. He not only realized that God is the creator and sovereign and almighty, but also he understood well the gospel. Salvation is of the Lord. Also in chapter 4, verse 2, second part there, it says, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He knows well God's attributes, that God is gracious and merciful and kind and just, that he will condemn man ultimately. But if there is repentance, that there is also forgiveness. All very good. But where, my brothers and sisters, where do we see this man with all his good theology? Worshipping the Lord, serving him with gladness, giving his best to the Lord, all his talents? No. We see Jonah fleeing to Tarshish, not willing to do what the Lord wanted him to do. Does this sound familiar? Or maybe it's not too obvious. We may think, well, the Lord has never called me to go to be a missionary or to preach somewhere. And that's fine if it's your case. But what about using your talents for the furtherance of God's kingdom? What about the Great Commission? Is it only a commandment for a few or for all of God's people? The truth is that for the most part, we are so much like Jonah. And when we read our Bibles, we need to see it. We need to learn from the Bible, not only doctrine, but we also need to see our sins and our weaknesses. It needs to speak to our hearts. If we don't transform what we learn, what we believe in obedience, in practice, or in theological words, our orthodoxy into orthopraxy, then our faith is void. That's what the epistle of James is all about. That's what even what the Lord Jesus Christ has told us. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And I have five observations, 5 points about Jonah today. So let's see first that Jonah had a good profession of faith, but was in disobedience to God. Let's see in chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Jonah means dove. Amittai means my truth. This man, he had a heritage of faith from his family. You don't need to turn there, but just for you to have the reference. In 2 Kings 14, verse 25, we see that Jonah was a prophet that lived in the time of the king Jeroboam. And Jonah was greatly used by the Lord. But in verse 2 of chapter 1 of Jonah, let's read it. It says there, verse 2 of chapter 1, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." And in verse 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So Jonah, he professed the Lord, had a great knowledge of him. But then when God came to him and gave him a mission, then Jonah disobeyed the Lord. He flees to Tarshish. And this is very interesting, because Jonah, he is a picture of us. We come to church every Sunday, and we learn, and we learn, and we learn. But then when God gives us something to do, when God calls us for a task, then what is our answer? "God, sorry, I can't, for whatever reason." In verse 12 of chapter 1 we read, "And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." This text tells us that Jonah was willing even to die, but not to obey. It's amazing how much we can resist in obeying the Lord sometimes. And notice how easy things were for him to go to Tarshish in disobedience. He found a ship in the port of Joppa ready for him. He had the money, no difficulties at all. I think that's Billy Graham who said that when a believer wants to disobey God, there's always a devil there ready to pay for his ticket. And maybe even Jonah thought that because all the doors were open for him to go to Tarshish, that it was God's will. We need to be careful with that kind of thinking. But let me ask you now, are you living, believer, in your present situation, God's project for your life? Are you obeying him? Are you willing to obey the Lord in whatever he has for you if he calls you to do something? Or are you fleeing to Tarshish as Jonah did? Second point. First was that Jonah had a good profession of faith, but he was in disobedience to God. The second is that he has a good profession of faith, but he only prayed when there were great difficulties. Let's read in chapter 2, verse 1. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Only when Jonah found himself in the most desperate and miserable condition. Then finally he remembered to pray. Jonah, the one who professed he was a Hebrew, and I feared the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the seas and the dry land. Isn't he like the prodigal son? He didn't pray to leave his father's house, neither to ask for money. Only when he was starving and had no other option, then he remembered his father. Do you know someone like that? Very little prayer life. But then one day, bad news come. A tragedy, a disease, lost job. And then the person completely changes. All the priorities change. The person prays, cries to the Lord, confesses his need for him. And then eventually things go better again. And the person acts as if she doesn't depend upon the Lord anymore. Once again, Jonah, he looks so much like us. Third point. Jonah, he had a good profession of faith, but he had no burden for the lost souls. Jonah, in his heart, desired that those 120,000 people from Nineveh ended up in hell. That's the truth. He didn't want them to repent. He didn't want to preach to them. And then after he preached to them and saw that they repented, what happened? Let's read chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." Jonah, he didn't want to preach to them because he knew that there was a chance for them to get saved. He knew that God was powerful to save them. Jonah, a Hebrew that feared the Lord. "God, I am a part of thy people, but not them." Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, a cruel enemy of Israel. And Jonah was moved by anger. He had a good profession, but no compassion. He wanted salvation only for his friends, not for others. Let's read chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. "And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" once again, isn't Jonah so much like us? We care more for the things that we have than for people, for our houses, for our gardens, for our pets, and so on. And we spend a lot of money and time with these things. But I don't care. No one likes to be the Good Samaritan. It's a beautiful parable, but it's for others, not for me. May it be someone else, God. And that's very sobering. The good doctrine that's in our minds doesn't produce compassion in our hearts. We are believers in theory. We like to join Luther and say, "Here I stand." But what about compassion? Was Christ just a teacher, a rabbi, full of knowledge, and that was it? Or did he came to seek and save which was lost? Who, being the form of God, thought it not to be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Fourth point. Jonah had a good profession of faith, but he did God's work carelessly. When Jonah finally arrived in Nineveh, God wanted him to preach to that whole city. That would have taken him 2 or 3 days, as it says. But then in chapter 3, verse 4, we read, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" Or in other words, Jonah, preached in Nineveh in a way for them not to get saved. Jonah didn't want them to get saved. He just said a few words telling that they were going to be destroyed. And he didn't even go to the whole city, as the Lord commanded him, but just a part of it. Now let us once again put ourselves in his place. We have a beautiful profession. We know our Bibles well. We may feel special because God has used us in the past. But then God calls us to do something, and we do it as a duty, with no joy. We don't see it as a privilege anymore, an honor, but as a burden. But in Psalm 100 it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. God loveth a cheerful giver." God sees the heart. God sees our motives. God wants, it's true, a rational, a reasonable faith. But he also wants a heart full of compassion and full of joy to serve him in whatever he has us to do. Fifth and last point. Jonah, he has a good profession of faith, but that gave him no reason to rejoice. Jonah, in fact, was full of sadness and bitterness. Let's read chapter 1, verse 12 again. It says, "And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Jonah said, "I'm causing trouble. So throw me into the sea and you will get out of trouble. I'm not going to obey anyway." And then in chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live." Can you imagine God's patience in dealing with Jonah? God has had a task for him. God blesses him. I don't know if you realize it, but Jonah had the privilege of being the first missionary in the Bible that was sent to the Gentiles outside of the borders of Israel. This is the first time God has called someone to do it. But Jonah said, "It's better for me to die than to live." And once again, in chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, It's better for me to die than to live." Jonah had no clue of what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he said, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Jonah, he knew his faith well, but still that didn't bring joy in his heart. Okay, now considering these facts about Jonah, that he was in disobedience to God, that he only prayed when we saw difficulties, that he had no burden for lost souls, that he did God's work carelessly, and that his knowledge of God gave him no reason to rejoice. All this sounds very bad. But let me tell you one thing. Jonah, he was still a believer. And what has happened to him can happen to any of his children, because we are modern versions of him. God doesn't ask us to go to Nineveh, but he places us, he places people in our lives, and he wants us to share the gospel with them. God wants us to speak to our neighbors. God wants us to support our congregations, our missionaries, in whatever capacity we can. And we many times fail to do these things. So that example of Jonah talks to us. It's a book full of lessons. And let me go now through some of them. First one that I want to bring to your attention now is that in the book of Jonah, the main character is not Jonah, but God. It's God that goes after Jonah. And praise the Lord that he couldn't care less about Jonah's free will. If God respected Jonah's will, Jonah would be in hell today. And so do you and me. We learn in this book that God will never give up on us, His children. And it's a vain thing to flee from the Lord, to disobey God. And you know why? Let's read chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." When you're fleeing from the Lord, God sends a storm to catch you. You can try to escape from Him, but it's a vain thing. And if you are trying to act like that, the Lord is calling you back, even today, to surrender your will to His will. Some may think this is harsh doctrine. The world will certainly see that as a harsh thing. But in fact, it is a beautiful thing. It tells us of God's compassion for His children. As God tells in Hosea regarding His disobedient people, it says there, "Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path." God goes after us until we get to the point where there is no way to go. It's a dead end. And then God tells us, "Now you're going to surrender. You're not going to be a rebel anymore. I got you." Jesus tells us, "The Father has given you to me, so there is no way I will cast you out, even if I need to go to the end of the world to get you. I'll do it." Another beautiful lesson that we learn from Jonah is that God preserves the believer who is in disobedience. Let's read in chapter 1, verse 17. It says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." And it's interesting that Jonah was preserved there against all odds. Jonah asked to die. He was thrown into the sea. He was going down into that deep, deep sea. But then the Lord sent him that big fish, and Jonah was preserved. This is our God, the God of all providence, that never leaves us nor forsakes us. And then finally, in that desperate situation, Jonah had no choice but to cry unto the Lord. Imagine how unpleasant was for Jonah to be into that fish. Just think of the smell there. 3 days, 3 nights. That's how far, how low we sometimes need to go until we see our need for the Lord. But God was still with Jonah. In chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out to Jonah upon the dry land." Notice here, so interesting, in this story, everyone obeys God. The fish obeys the Lord. The sea obeys the Lord. The storm obeys the Lord. Only Jonah was disobeying the Lord. But God still has used all those things for Jonah's benefit, to give that privilege of serving God and change his heart. How great is the love that God has for his children. But then in chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Let me tell you now, if God has a mission for you to use you in a specific way, he is going to use you. You can get maybe there with bandages, crutches, or even in a wheelchair, but you are going to get there. When God saved Paul, he told him what? That he was a chosen vessel. God had a project for Paul, and God has a project for each of us. And whatever he has for us, he's going to do it through you and in spite of you. The question is, how much you want to suffer in the process before you want to obey him? One more lesson: that God blessed Jonah's work in spite of Jonah's carelessness. Jonah, he hated the people he was sent to. He preached, I think, the worst sermon that you can find in the Bible. You can't find anything similar to it. If you think my preaching is bad, at least I can find comfort considering Jonah's sermon. His sermon has only one sentence. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Sounds so edifying, no? I imagine me and other students at the seminary. Pastor Wagner was our professor there, and he asked to evaluate each other's sermon. And then one of us comes there and preach one sermon, like, well, the city will be destroyed in 40 days. And that's it. And even speak in a very discouraging way, because Jonah didn't speak for the people to hear it. I'm sure a grade wouldn't be good for him. But you know what? The most amazing thing is that this was the most effective sermon ever preached. 120,000 people repented and got saved with this awful, awful sermon. So that tells me that there is hope for me and for each of us. And you know why? Because God does his work even in spite of us. It's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In spite of our limitations, in spite of our weaknesses, and in spite even of our sin and rebellion, God, for His name's sake, He blesses our work because His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. And at the end, He will be the one glorified, not us. Salvation is of the Lord, fully and completely. That's the great lesson of the book of Jonah. And just to conclude, let's read Matthew 12, verse 41. Matthew 12, verse 41. Many years was written of Jonah and his story. It says there, the man of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Let me tell you, believer in the Lord, our work is never, never in vain if we do it for Christ. And praise the Lord for that. So let us serve Him with all our hearts. That's what He wants from us. Let us stop fleeing from Him, because it's a great privilege and a great blessing to serve Him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, O Lord, we bow down to Thee now and recognize our limitations, our weaknesses, O Lord. But we praise Thee that salvation is of Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast come from heaven to rescue us and save us, O Lord, and even to obey Thee and serve Thee until we go to glory, when we'll be praising and worshiping Thee forever and ever. Oh Lord, we give Thee thanks, are so amazed by Thy love, for Thy loving kindness for Thy children. Oh Lord, that came to us. Oh Lord, thanks for each and every one here. I pray, oh Lord, that these will not be only words, but these will change us, transform our hearts. Oh Lord, we know that we are not naturally willing to obey Thee, but we plead for Thy help, even if it takes hard things and ways for us to obey Thee, O Lord, like as that big fish for Jonah. O Lord, we praise Thy name because that is a blessing for us. Thou works all things together for our good. Help us to see it, O Lord, and praise Thy name, O Lord. Thanks for each and every one here. Bless us, keep us in Thy spirit, and bring us back tonight. O Lord, help us in preparing our hearts for communion tonight. Be in our midst. Bless us. Depart us in Thy fear. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.